Hello and welcome to our latest podcast episode. We have another interview coming up with our special guest, Tiki Tony. He makes tikis.
And his name is Tony.
He doesn't just collect, he makes them.
And he's drawing.
And he draws some things.
And his name is Tony.
Like this?
Yeah. Tony. And you like can't make this stuff up, people. You can't.
Yeah. It's like, let me see. What do you do and what is your name? Wait, Tiki Tony.
My name is Tony. And they're like, so how do you feel about tikis? You're like, I sort of love them. That's it.
So my name is Sign J. I guess.
I don't know.
Because I have the same ring to it.
Gamer Steve.
Jeff. Jeff.
Goofy Jeff? I don't know.
Orange. Well, I'm Goofy Jeff.
I don't know.
That off works.
Ooey. Okay. Off ooey.
Yeah.
All right.
We're going.
What?
Where are we going?
Where are we going?
Hey, we got an interview. Let's do our interview. Everybody.
We're going to the interview.
We're going to the internet. We got interviews to do. People, we can't sit around and talk forever.
Well, I mean, it's our opening. We can do whatever the hell we want to do. There's a dog here now. I mean, come on. Yeah.
I haven't opened my door to let mine
for some reason. I don't even know why. Hi, dog. How?
I taste peanut butter.
Dogs always get to choose.
Okay.
In my house. Because I have three of them.
Okay, well, let's get to the interview then, because, you know,
all right,
that's what we do here. We interview and discuss and discover magic that we share. I don't know how that one doesn't work too well.
Okay, cut.
No.
Bring on Tony.
Yeah, just get to Tony. That's what you're here right. for.
I know.
Yeah,
it'll be fun.
Well, bring on Tony.
Bring on. Wait, we're going to bring on.
I think he's wearing my shoes.
I can't say Tiki Tony and Don.
Tiki Tony.
Oh, God, my Donald's awful.
I'm not going to do it.
No, we're cutting that one out.
Thank you. My wife would appreciate that.
Wizards and witches, wherever you dwell, give us a hint by ringing the bell.
Winds in the east, mist coming in, like something is brewing. About to begin.
This candle blessed us with a miracle.
Take it, Kronk. Feel the power.
Oh, I can feel it.
This station is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Pull the lever, Kronk. Roll lever!
There's no mystical energy field controls my destiny. It's all a lot of simple tricks and nonsense.
Well, I happen to be a wizard, a soothsayer, a prognosticator.
Some all-powerful genie. You probably can't even get us out of this cave.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader.
Welcome to the Discovered Magic Podcast.
All right, so our guest for tonight, I guess you can tell by Jeff's shirt. No?
Yeah.
A little tiki-ish, so... We got a little there. We got a little here and there.
Got a little tiki room up in here. All right. Yeah. Okay.
Tiki Tony.
Tiki Tony. Yeah.
Where did you guys come from? I was just looking at my computer. Whoa,
where did you come from? We're thinking
we're just right off the boat, goodness. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Hey guys, thanks for having me aboard.
Good to have you. Good to have you.
How are you doing tonight?
Good, doing good. It's got a weird hot week, which I mean, I guess it's always hot in summer wherever you are, but it's well, hotter than here. Usual. Yeah,
it's a cruel summer.
Yeah, it's good though. It's nice. I mean, I just had Tiki Oasis in San Diego like what 3 weeks ago, and I feel like I'm still like recovering from that. I literally just like after the shows, I have all my crates of stuff and I just shove them into the garage, and I had to go through them today and like reorganize that. That was not the fun part.
Nice.
Well, how are you guys all doing?
Well, I'm inside, so I'm all right.
Yeah, the air's nice and cool over here. I mean,
that's Arizona. You can't step outside, then you're just like, we're right now. So
yeah, yeah. We had one hot summer where I put the AC unit here in my garage office, and that was nice. But yeah,
well, I have one in my garage, and it still doesn't work.
Oh yeah,
I'm lucky if I can get it to like 85.
Oh my god,
you need just like, you know, in cartoons where they just kick it and then it works.
Yeah,
I mean, that's all you have to do. I don't know why you're not doing that.
Yeah, I know. So because first off, it's up high, so I can't go.
You can't reach that far. Okay, well,
you gotta stretch first, house or something.
Yeah, I noticed like we have no insulation on our garage door, and if I go near it, it's like cooking hot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, that I fixed on mine, but it actually does help. It probably cut down like 10 degrees in the garage, but
wow.
Luckily my garage is not facing the sun, so probably I lucked out, I guess, that way, but AC still doesn't do much.
All you creative types in your smoldering hot garages, you know, like
yeah,
is that like a prereq towards like the creative process where you have to be like sweaty and like
the brain works.
Right.
Yeah, you get so lucid, then the creative process kicks in. You're like, I got it now.
It's either that, or when you get really good, then you have like your own shop or like an actual building that might have AC, and then you're like rolling in, you know.
Yeah, that would be nice. Yeah, that's my wife and I are like loosely planning for my shack in the backyard to reorganize it and have a second story, but we're still a few years away from that. But then it would have nice air conditioning. So
that'd be a good idea, though. Yeah.
Heating.
Yeah. Once we get a super chat, that's what we'll go for. Like, hey, everyone, you know, like, subscribe, super chat. Let's get some air conditioners for these fine folks. That's what it'll be.
That's a lot of super chats.
I mean, I believe in the comment, the masses. You know, people are at the heart. They're generous. You know.
So what are you working on, Tony? Besides organization,
right? When does this come out?
It'll be probably
next year. I mean, roughly like a year and a half. Like,
no,
it's either going to be this Sunday or next. I think it's next Sunday.
Oh, okay, soon. Okay, so well, I can talk about. I won't just name places, but so there's two restaurants I'm working with. Tiki-ish places, and they're going to become more tiki places.
Oh, okay.
So nice. They're going to add tiki decor to it, and then we're doing a mug. And weirdly, like, I haven't done this in a long time. I'll do random bits of decor here and there for bars, but right now it's like I'm doing a small theming for two different ones, which is cool, and then a mug to kind of go along with them, which is really neat.
Nice. You find, I mean, it's a little soon, but getting more business now with Oceanic Arts not around?
Oceanic Arts, I think most of the people bought kind of their supplies and stuff, like the thatch, the bamboo.
Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of the tiki stuff wasn't even a huge part of their business, even though, you know, that's what they're known for. But no, I haven't really noticed anything about that. People have contacted me and they're like, where do we get thatch and matting now? Like, with OA clothes. So, and actually there's a place that I'm working on a tiki trailer. I bought a basic trailer. It's like a utility trailer that I'm turning into a tiki trailer. It's going to have a tiki bar, like a thatched roof and everything. But I was working with Forever Bamboo. It's like foreverbamboo.com. And they sent me supplies, and like they're kind of sponsoring the trailer.
So oh, nice.
Using their supplies, and then I'll kind of like post for them.
But so what are you going to do with the trailer? Like, are you going to build stuff in it or?
Yeah. So the whole outside will have like my carved molding. It's like carved molding that I'll often sell to people. So, oh, I have some right there.
Let me
yeah, make we can.
There we go.
Right there.
There you go.
People. So people use it for when they put up matting. So you can see kind of there's mat behind all the junk. There's some matting up there, but the matting, the edges of it are so irregular that you have to frame it either in bamboo or carved molding. So I sell quite a bit of carved molding and stuff, but that's going to go on the outside of the trailer, and then I'll have matting and all sorts of stuff. So I'll waterproof it. And it's going to be like, I'll have to send you photos because it's like, I'm trying to describe a photo basically. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh yeah. There you go.
Okay. So that's the drawing cool. of it.
It's going to open on all sides then.
It's going to, it's going to be open on all sides, carved beams in each corner. It'll have like, you know, a bar in the middle.
That's what I'm talking about.
Pina
coladas, some
Mai Tais. Legally, probably not.
I guess
if you're parked on private property, you're good.
You're right. So speaking of drinks.
Oh, I don't.
Cheers,
my chocolate.
Yeah, shoot. Hold on, I'll be right back, y'all. You're right. I'm missing out on the party. I'll see
for those of you at home, if you want to drink along with us, that's fine by us.
I don't know what this is, but I got some. So it smells like peaches, and I put it in a wine glass. So
it looks fancy.
Sure.
Are you gonna drink it like this?
No, I'm gonna drink it like this. It's good enough for me. Oh, it's bubbly. It's weird. Ooh, it's good. It's like wine with peaches in it. I don't know. Who cares? Anyways, back to the chat.
Okay, here. I got one more view. I don't know if this... So that would be the inside view looking out. And of course, I'd be looking out at a volcano about to erupt.
Sure. Yes,
so that makes sense. So the whole idea... So the last year... So there's the Anaheim Fall Festival Parade, which Kevin and Jody... put on. They're like, they make amazing artwork and merchandise for Disney, and design a lot of the parade stuff. But they organized this little Anaheim parade. It's actually, I mean, kind of big now, but it's all like this very old-timey little town feeling, and it's really cool. So they do a parade, and last year we had the vintage Indiana Jones Land Rover in it. And we didn't have enough room, so I'm like, I need a trailer. So all my friends, because my friends had to walk alongside of it, it was a 2-mile walk. They're like, now they'll be able to go in a cool themed trailer.
Oh yeah.
And then there's another little parade here in town we do for Christmas. So that's why it's going to be all open. But then also I see it as like, it's a cool little beach shack. Like I can go up to the beach, take the kids there. There's a few spots here in Ventura where I can park right on the coast. And I don't,
just a few.
Yeah.
That's so cool though. What a great idea.
That's my dream. We'll see. In reality, it'll be like my kids crying and like, bye. They're like, I never want to come back. No, I don't know. So we'll see.
And then during the parade, like you can hand out the little cups of water, but they won't be water.
Well, so on my Land Rover roof racks, I have a Adventureland replica mask, and I rigged it up so it spits water out.
Oh, nice!
I could fill that thing with anything. It doesn't have to be water. You're like, ooh.
Be like, Timmy, why do you smell like booze?
I was at the Tiki Tony booth again.
I was at the Tiki thing.
Put that in the parade and have it squirt a little farther so I'll get the crowd on the side.
You know, that? Yeah, we really could. If you pinch the line, it builds up pressure and then it like spits it out.
Oh, nice.
Everything's very low tech with me, like absolute lowest tech.
That's where the heart is, though.
Like my animatronic is a puppet.
That is so.
I love that.
It's almost like a nutcracker. Like
it is. Yeah, it is. It's basically a tiki. I cut the jaw off, and then it's just like a nutcracker.
Nice. But part of like the aesthetic of a tiki, or just the feel, is like you got to get a jaw that goes smack, 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 like just like that. It's got to be like super, super fast. Because a nutcracker is not the same. It's not the same cadence, right? But that's like perfect. That is so great.
Wait, who was talking? Was that the tiki or you?
I was just concentrating on the tiki guy. So
it's me. It's just this guy. <I know. laughs> Oh no!
I couldn't.
Now, that's so perfect.
If you made a goofy looking one,
oh man, I would love a goofy tiki. I looked up a goofy tiki. I couldn't find one. I actually looked up the other day a goofy tiki, like, you know how they'll have like, oh, what is it, geeky tiki?
Yeah,
you know,
and
there's no goofy tiki mug. So whoever wants to make me one, you know,
I wonder why. I mean, he's like,
I know there's a Mickey one.
Perfect character for that.
Wars. Well, I want a Mickey mug. Well, I think I'd like one.
Whoa, wait, who did that? Was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, yeah, wait.
Well, okay. Well, I think I would like a this here Mickey mug.
Wow.
Wars. Thank you.
Dang, that is good.
Thank you very much. It's sort of my thing. I'm an amateur voice actor, so I just kind of. But back to the tikis, it's like, you know, a goofy tiki. I was very surprised because I thought, you know, what a fun. I actually looked it up the other day. I thought it'd be really fun to have a goofy tiki. You know, I couldn't find one. So
that would be cool. Yeah, he would lend himself good to that. Yeah. So. Wait, how long have you been doing that voice? I mean, that was like spot on.
Oh, thank you so much. About 5 years. And so my great cousin was a voice actor. His name is Pat Buttram.
Whoa. Please.
He was the evil sheriff of Nottingham in the
Robin Hood movie. No way. Yeah. Oh my God. The
evil sheriff of Nottingham. Like he had a voice like this. Like he, that was sort of him. Oh my God,
you sound exactly like him.
No, I'm working on it. But. You know, so I grew up with that sort of voice, you know, just and then later on, I don't know what happened, but I was just like, I bought a dog and I just ran out of songs to sing and to the dog because we'd be driving in the car and the dog just liked Disney songs. And I started singing Goofy. I was like, break from modern live on, you know, and the dog loved it. I was like, Gorsh, well, I sound a little bit like Goofy. Well, I think I do. And then,
yeah, that's crazy.
And then I study Bill Farmer, the voice of Goofy, I've studied him so much. I've met him, we've interviewed him. Oh, you did. And he's just a big hero of mine. So
that's awesome. Yeah, so, did he get to hear you do the voice?
I did the voice with him. I don't say I did the voice for him because when it comes to voice actors, everyone does stuff for the voice. Hey, you like my Goofy? And that's. Like, that's not what he wants. That's not what he wants to be the voice. And I want him to be the voice forever and ever. I want him for the next 200-300 years to be the Goofy voice. But I guard that voice I call myself a voice match. And I don't study Goofy's voice. I study Bill's voice. And so when I talked to him, I was like, you know, we sort of were going through the voice. And I said, you know, bothers. I could see when Goofy's voice is so hard to do because there's a lot of lows and highs and everyone just wants to do Goofy like this. It's not. It's really low. Who wants down here low? Hey, Maxie. Morning, son.
there's a lot of lows and highs. Lexi, wait up. You forgot your lunch. Well, have a good day. So there's all these lows and highs and lows. And that was just a pleasure just to kind of, along with him, just kind of talk. He kind of critiqued me. He's like, well, you can go higher if you want to. And I was like, ooh, that's Bill's way of just giving me that little jab of saying,
that's, you know, pretty crazy.
It was wonderful.
Wait, how long has he been doing the voice for?
Oh, good. Since 89, I think.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, he was a voice match. Yeah. His first, so Bill Farmer's first Goofy, it was called Goofy's Doggone Valentine. And he was actually, it was this like variety show of different Disney clips. And he had a match. I think it was an old Pinto Colvick, who was the original Goofy. And he's like, oh, what was it? Well, if I put my foot on the gas, well, I'm out of here quick. Or something like that. I think that's what it was. And he had a match that. And they just fell in love. I think Disney just fell in love with the way he did Goofy. And what he talks about is Gorsh. That was the way he did Gorsh. Gorsh is a big guttural Gorsh that they hired him. And he's been the Goofy ever since. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's nuts. And so you guys interviewed him on this show?
No, not on this show, but yeah, another podcast I'm on. About an hour. And I met him. I gave him this shirt once upon a time when I first met him. And I call him Saint Bill in my house because I gave him a shirt. And he wears it. He'll wear it places. And he's cool. What a sweet man. And if you... it's called Sharing the Magic podcast. I was just such a fanboy. I mean, it was that's an hour cool. of me just gushing and just be like, Bill, I love you. Oh my goodness, you're my horse. Well, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I mean, that's pretty darn special though, to be able to meet him and, you know, someone who's means a lot to you. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think these stories, like Tiki's, so like you and all the things that you do, we'll tie it back to our guest. It's like, you know, I always say, I don't know, I think capturing the wonder, right? Like, so voices for me captures the wonder, but I could totally see art, like Jason does his woodworking and just the minute, for me, the minute details are in the voices and things like that. But art for like Jason is just... you know, he takes these snapshots of Disney. Yeah. And just
love that thing.
And reproduces these magical things. And so I'm just curious for you, like, for in your own life, like what we're doing this tiki stuff. Like, how does it spark your curiosity and your wonder and your imagination and all that stuff?
I mean, like the cool thing about Tiki, there's so many avenues, you know, it's like, I guess it all started for me just drawing. Like I loved having a white piece of paper and with a pen or a pencil, you know, I could create my own world wherever I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And I just absolutely love that. And I think like, I like interacting with people and I like making people laugh or smile or whatever.
Right.
And I saw early on, like when I could draw something funny or interesting, it made people smile. And I was just, I'm like addicted to that.
That's awesome.
I just, you know, that interaction between people, I love. And then like Tiki is so immersive, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It could be an environment. It could be, you know, Tiki music. It could be just drinks. So there's like, you know, people are into everything. And I just happen to love creating anything. So like for me, it started with drawing. And then when I met my now wife, when I was 17, she was 16, she had a little resin Coco Joe's tiki in her bedroom that was her dad's from the 60s. And I saw this thing, I'm like, whoa, what is this? It's like a relic from another time. And it like sparked, I was like, oh my God, like I remember the tiki room at Disneyland. And
yeah.
Growing up, we went to Disneyland maybe once a year, so it wasn't like super often we went, but it like really sparked with me. I like kind of became obsessed after that.
That's amazing.
I bought my first Hawaiian shirt when I was like just the year or two before that, honestly, because like in 1995 the only one wearing Hawaiian shirts were like old retired guys.
I know, in Florida.
Yeah, and me and my friend thought it was hilarious that we were 15 and we were wearing like old retired guy shirts. And we got, again, like we would go to school and we got a laugh from everyone. We're like, this is the greatest. Like, joke's on me. I loved it so much. I never changed. Like, I've been wearing Hawaiian shirts for the last 20.
I've come to embrace them, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. It's like instant kind of vacation. When I was a high school and middle school art teacher for about 5 years, and it was a stressful job. So every Friday was like our Aloha Friday, and it felt like, okay, the weekend's almost here. It was that signifier of like, it's time to relax.
Yeah. Do you think that's the aesthetic of what you, why you're so drawn to do what you do is that, you know, you give the gift of, I guess my earlier question, I almost wanted to ask, what is it about, I mean, and sort of like, not an easy answer, but I think a lot of people could and would speak to it, to the answer, which is, what is it about the tiki Hawaiian, you know, that vibe that is so capturing, and you're in it the most. So, you know,
so like for me, like there's something about tropical environments that are like soothing, and just the escape part of like the theming around tiki, I love. Yeah. And I think everybody who kind of gets into it and like who has their own tiki room or like buy something for me, often when I'm talking to them, it turns out like there was a little spark from something from their childhood. Like for me, in the summers, like they had reruns of Gilligan's Island, and like it was this magical place. It was so hokey and crazy, but the professor made all these cool things, and they lived in thatched huts, and it was just a magical place. And I think a lot of people, there's one tiny little spark, like a grandparent took them to an old tiki restaurant when they were little, and they vaguely remember like these lava volcano waterfalls and tropical foliage and stuff like that. And it's so fun. It's fun to see different people's interpretations of it. And then even like new tiki bars, each one has its own personality. Whereas probably in the 50s and 60s, they all looked pretty close, like thatch, matting, all that sort of stuff. Yeah. But now there's like, you know, different themed ones. There's one that's very heavily nautical. Some are more adventure, and there's like skulls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so immersive. Like it just, and there's an escape to it.
There is. Yes, absolutely.
I think. It's, yeah.
I was just saying, so going back to your drawings, did you go to school for that, or did you just like pick it up? Or
I did. I mean, my whole life been obsessed with drawing. Like my mom, when about 10 years ago, found report cards from when I was in kindergarten, and it said, "Tony talks too much, but he also enjoys to draw, and he's much better when he's drawing," or something like that. I thought that was funny. But yeah, I've always like just been the artist kid who I was always drawing. I was never the best artist though. Like there was always another kid who was so much better than me. Yeah. Like, but I didn't care. I loved it so much that didn't even faze me. So, my wife and I went away. Oh, did we lose someone?
Yeah. I think the internet probably dropped out, but sorry, we'll keep going.
Okay.
Steve.
So it's like Daffy Duck with the hook. Dun, 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 hooks him off. You were not contributing. You're out of here. Is that from Roger Rabbit when they like take him off the stage? Yeah.
Donald and Daffy. The only time that they've ever been. I even forgot what the inner exchange was, but my goodness.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So went away to college. I was going to do graphic design because I thought that was safe. And I hated, like, I loved graphic design type stuff, but then like working with clients was like not where I wanted to be. But there was a studio art section where all these people were doing all this cool stuff. They were like glass blowing, they were sculpting. And there was a teacher there who did this immersive environment installation art. And people were making like tiki rooms or all sorts of like rooms that were just based, you know, lighting and stuff like that. Like, okay, this is where I want to be. There were all these weird people wearing weird clothes. I'm like, I fit in with them much better. Like the graphic design students were all like wearing polos and driving BMWs. I'm like, that's not for me.
I know.
Me either, funny, my friend. Actually. All right, you're in good company.
Yeah.
I wanted to show this.
Because
you were saying, you know, you wanted to make people laugh, and this one just, you know, it's got the feels, but obviously, you know, we lost him, so
yeah.
It's got good and bad vibes, but I mean, you say you can draw, but you have your own style, obviously.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I love the way you draw. So
thank you. Yep. Yeah, that was tough losing Pee-wee. He was like, you probably saw like so many people posting mm-hmm. about like what an inspiration he was.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you read further, but I was lucky enough to meet him, and actually met him in a friend's tiki bar in LA.
Wow.
Charles Phoenix, who's like retro slideshow guy.
Yeah.
He was good friends with Pee-wee or Paul, brought him over.
Yeah.
And like, we're at the bar, like this cool, like 1930s Spanish style house in LA. There's like maybe like 20 people there. And, it's my friends, Michael and Alan. Their home bar is the Hala Kahiki. So I'm sitting at the bar. My wife was somewhere, and I'm like talking to my friend Alan, who's bartending, and I turn to my left, and it's Pee-wee Herman. He's like sitting right next to me. He goes, so I heard you carve some of the tikis in here. And I'm like, I literally was like,
I don't know what you do. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what you say. I don't know what I would say.
He saw how excited I was, and I'm like, I felt like I was like, bluh, 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 like, ah.
Yeah.
So he, in person, he was super soft-spoken, super like mellow, nothing like Pee-wee Herman. Just a really sweet guy. And like, we talked for, I don't know, half an hour. It turned out we had the same birthday, which was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Happy birthday.
Thank you. Absolutely.
So I don't know if you saw in his post, like, every one of his friends he came in contact with, he would text them throughout the day on their birthday. Yeah. He wanted to make everyone in his life feel special. And he did, like, and this last year, everyone, he videoed like a special message to them, and he messaged to everyone. And it was amazing. Yeah. He was just an incredible person. I just before the pandemic, he was starting a live show where he got on stage and he like told stories and things. It didn't continue, unfortunately, because of COVID, but I got to go to the first preview night in Ventura. He even messaged me. He's like, hey, I'm gonna be in Ventura, like, you can go if you want. He gave me and my friend a ticket, so I'm like, of course.
He
was so freaking funny.
Yeah.
And he was like subtle. He wasn't Pee-wee. He just talked about these things, but he was like so quick-witted, and it was a different side of Paul Rubens or Pee-wee that I had seen.
Yeah.
And he was like a genius and smart, and someone would say something in the audience and he was just lightning quick fast.
That's awesome. He seems so self-conscious, so self-aware. And one of the things that I just heard this recently, somebody making an account of sort of his story of, he was very self-conscious. He didn't like, when he was getting older, you know, he was very, I wouldn't say scared, but, you know, kind of timid of being Pee-wee, because, you know, he would look at himself and say, hey, am I still Pee-wee? And I just think someone that takes a self-awareness.
I think that's tough on any, you know, actor, especially when they were famous when they're young. They have to hold on.
But
to
what
that.
An artist to say, you know, like, hey, everyone gets older, but he didn't take, it wasn't as if he's just like, hey, I'm Pee-wee, whatever. He sort of looked inside himself and outside himself and thought, you know, am I still worthy to be this character? And I think that's just what a great testament to his artistic genius to, to even ask that question, in my opinion.
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, one of the, like, I saw Mark Ryden, who's an incredible artist. He posted about being friends with Paul. I guess he was somewhat close with him. And he would go to his house, and he had a stack of fresh, clean $20 bills next to the door. So any UPS guy came, it was like straight out of his movie. He would, like, hand him a $20 bill as a thank you. The animals from Griffith Park would come down in his backyard, and he was, like, feeding the animals. And he said it was like he was Pee Wee Herman as Snow White. I'm like, oh, man. I hope Mark Ryden paints that scene, because that would be
amazing. I was just about to say, that's a perfect drawing right there.
Yeah. I have a feeling he will. But, yeah, Pee Wee was amazing.
What a great story.
So what do you like doing more, drawing or carving or, like...
You know what? So I draw daily, just as, like, I have to get an idea out. I feel my best when I'm carving, when I'm in the wood shop, the shack, and I'm, like, in my element. It's, you know, like you probably know, like, and when other artists or work or craftsmen, when you're in the zone, it's like that meditative mind state. You are like at one with everything around you. And I only experience that when I'm carving, or like after I've carved it, if I'm painting something, and like at the end of, you know, a long day, like it just, like, I almost feel like I'm walking out of this surreal world back into reality. I'm like, whoa, what just happened? Like, it's a cool experience that, I think I keep chasing it in the shack. You know, carving.
What kind of tools do you use?
All power tools. Like, I'm such a monkey mind. I cannot, like, hammer and chisel. Like, I tried that when I was 18. I'm like, no way, that doesn't work. So, all electric, like chainsaw, and then for the big stuff, big chainsaws, and then most of the work is an angle grinder.
You know, angle grinder, with that.
That's my favorite.
I have one with, like, I don't recommend this to anyone, but a chainsaw wheel on it.
Yeah.
it's so dangerous. I used an angle grinder for probably like 5 years before I ever used that attachment. But you have to have like an iron grip, and like you have to like know how the wood grain is going to catch. And also now, like, my mom, she was paranoid. She bought me Kevlar wrist guards.
Beautiful Batman costume as her. Got your angle grinder.
So I do use those. You know, you never know. Someday it could catch.
Yeah.
Do you use the, like, Arbortech, the, like, ball gouge and all that? And
you know what? My wife actually bought me one of those attachments. I still haven't used it. And I bought another Arbortech. It's a wheel that's supposed to carve kind of the way that the chainsaw wheel does.
Yeah.
Because I'm so used to the.
I have that too. Yeah.
I'm so used to the chainsaw wheel. I just haven't put it on because, like, I've been doing, you know, my carvings for so long. I get in the groove. I know it's going to take me this amount of time. It's quick, bam, bam. And if I have to learn a new tool, it's like.
It is a little different because you're almost like you're doing like a sanding pad, because you can't use the edge. You got to use it flat on it. So it's a little weird.
Oh, okay. So you do use one.
I mean, I got into carving a little bit, but I didn't stick to it. I'll leave that for you.
Now here's the million-dollar question, and this is not just to Tony, but it's to Jason, and I mean Steve, you're an artist too.
He does laser stuff just like me.
All right, so here we go. Here's the question: how the heck do you get people not to bug you when you're doing your craft? How do you get in that meditative state of mind? Please, I gotta know. I have to, because I have three hyperactive dogs. They don't let me do anything.
I think it's like what Tony said though, is you're in the groove. Yeah. And so somebody can still talk to you, but you're kind of still focused on what you're doing. It's like when I'm doing a live stream, like making a sign, like I can still sit in here and build and like
and talk.
Yeah, answer questions and all that. And I'm still like focused on what I'm doing.
You're better.
Is that the same for you, Tony?
I'm like you're a like monkey.
I'm like,
yeah, I get taken out of it. So
okay,
yeah, me too.
I have two small kids, so they're constantly like they're 4 and 7. But the good thing is, when I'm out in the backyard in the shack, it's a little bit separated. And also, if I have the loud, carving stuff going, it's like sometimes I'll hear them like yelling at me. I'll have my ear things on. Yeah. So I put a ship's bell right by the door. So like ding, 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 ding. And I'm like, but that's it. Like that bell now goes off and I'm like out of it. I'm like,
well, I guess that would be a little different.
That's a great answer. That's a great answer. That's more than I.
But honestly, I think a space, like I think a lot of creative people need their own confined space to kind of get creative. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I'm wondering for voice kind of stuff. Like, if you're driving in your car, that could be like a good creative space.
It is. I have a closet too. And I'm like, but then, yeah. No, but you're right. Like in the car, you have to kind of carve out those places. I do. I'm an artist too. So I draw. I've been drawing since I was a kid. I mean, I'm not the best. I'm not, but cool. I can relate to that world because, as a kid, I was like just in my sketch pad all the time. And
yeah.
And, when I was young, there was a lot more opportunity to be in that meditative state of mind, whatever art form I was playing. I'm playing guitar or doing voice acting or drawing or whatever it was. And now as I get older, it's more challenging to find those, to set those boundaries, right? Even against the people that you love and you say, hey, I love you, but this is I'm on the clock right now. And I have to like get myself into this mindset. And for me, I can get kicked out of it so dang easy.
Yeah. And, same. Yeah. We're probably very similar that like, kind of, I'm probably undiagnosed ADD or something.
Yeah, I am diagnosed ADD. So just for all of our
Me and Jason's the same.
Yeah.
For all of our listeners who are like, yeah, I'm not surprised.
I can go do something,
and I can hear people. I can talk to them, and I'm still doing what I'm doing.
That's impressive.
My brother's an engineer, so he needs to focus and just do one thing. And that's it. I'm like Jason, where I can go and build things and talk to. I can do like three things: watch TV and.
That's impressive. Well, what's funny too? I mean, just visually, look at we're wearing Hawaiian shirts. We have beards.
Yeah, I know.
You guys are in like dark t-shirts. We're like paired up.
Jason plays guitar. I play drums.
Oh yeah, man.
I mean, hey, artist types. I mean, look, okay. Actor types, artist types, like you're probably on the, everyone's probably on this creative ADHD, spectrum. That's fine. There's no, for our list, for all Jason's listeners, look, we're special snowflakes, but not all of us are that special as snowflakes.
So, you're saying getting into the zone and stuff, but do you find it like relaxing? Like is that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, sometimes it can be stressful. Like, I have like 20, pufferfish orders I have to fulfill.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So like at those times it can be stressful, and those I have to, pour resin into a rubber mold and have to like hand rotate them. That aspect can be stressful, but honestly, like if I have a lot of carving orders, that's not as stressful because I know I get to kind of be in that zone.
Yeah.
So how about for you? Like when you're working on stuff, do you like, are you always in the zone or sometimes it's just like, you do it?
I mean, I'm always in the zone, but
that's good.
It gets stressful, and so I took a step back from doing some of my signs, and it's mostly Etsy's fault because they put a time limit, you know.
Oh, what do you mean a time limit?
Like you got to ship it out in a certain number of you could say it's going to take me like 2 weeks or whatever. But if you don't get that timeline, then you're like on top of things. And
yes, everything of mine, just so you know, like takes a month to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So I don't know how some people can like get stuff out within a day or so. So I'm on your side.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is you get more busy, you get more orders, that original processing time is out the window, but those orders are attached to that. Yeah. And that got to me. So I was doing way more than I should. I had no time basically to, I was a, you know, like a, what do they say,
workaholic.
Oh no. Yeah. No, but
Steve,
like
with the win. Well, Steve doesn't talk much, but what he does, it's a doozy, everyone. Right. You've talked about that very, very much.
Well, I was just saying, like, you're, I forget how you worded, but like, you're a fault to your own success or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You have too many orders to do what you want them to do. And I have the laser. I was going to ask you if you do anything laser with.
I don't have one, but my buddy does. And like, so if I think up something, my buddy is super creative too. He thinks of stuff. He's like, hey, why don't we do this with the laser? I'm like, okay. So
yeah,
but I technical stuff, like it's a disaster for me. So like I've seen him troubleshoot things. So like, yeah, all the robots doing creative stuff, that's a whole nother creative energy you have to have.
Yeah. And, when we were at, Tiki trading, whatever, I forgot what it was.
Yeah, but Tiki Land trading event.
Yeah. When we were there, though, part of my thing was to go around seeing what other people are doing laser-like.
I remember. Oh, yeah.
I shared this before. I bought it's like a little necklace, but it's like a Tiki guy. It's multiple layered. And I wanted to try to make something, you know, similar, try to do that because it has like the wood texture carved in there, you know?
Yeah.
So that's like something I want to get into, do more Tiki stuff because – like,
oh,
I said, I'm not a carver, but I can do laser. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's the cool thing too. Yeah, with you can get like depth, almost like a carving, like you said, using layers of the wood. Yeah, I tend to think of the laser stuff as just flat, like literally turning my drawings into something with, you know, an etched surface. But yeah, there's people doing crazy fun stuff.
Yeah, and I mean, I think you could take your drawings and kind of do them multiple layered and still kind of build it up.
That would be cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I should take one of your drawings and see what I can do with it. And then,
like even like a diorama almost. Yeah. That would be fun.
That'd be cool.
Dioramas are cool.
So how did you get into making the signs, and like, did you get a laser? What do they call laser machine?
They're not laser printers. Are they? Yeah. What are they?
Laser engravers.
The Glowforge, they call it a 3D laser printer, which is kind of not right because you have 3D printers. But no, well, it's just a laser.
Surely they don't call it that. Jason's like,
no, they do, and that's weird,
what they do. But...
So what came first, the laser or the signs?
The signs. So you know Justin Scard?
Yeah.
So I started following him, and a friend of mine, Steve knows her as well, my friend Christy. She knew I was a graphic designer. But she's like, hey, you do graphics, can you make me a sign? And I'm like, wait, that's like two different things. But I did wood shop in high school.
Sweet.
So I was like, yeah, I can do that. And honestly, Justin Scard's friend Spike, I'm sure you're familiar with Spike.
Yeah.
I reached out to him because he had made Justin's logo, whatever, in the torching style or whatever.
The Random Land sign. Yeah.
Yeah. So I reached out to him and we chatted back and forth, and he kind of taught me how to do that. And I started making those. Like I made like welcome signs for some realty people and whatever.
Oh, cool. With a router?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I started making like Disneyland ones and whatnot. And
oh, cool.
It just started from there and get the laser and then, you know,
boom.
Even before then, though, like my favorite ride is Pirates. So I made a pirate sign. It's like painted It's not carved at all, but
yeah.
You know, but then I get into like this stuff. I can't even point to it right here. This is, you can't even see it. It's the Captain Quarters sign.
Oh, cool.
And then I'm working on one of these too. So,
we have a small one that hangs above our door.
Yeah.
I love those.
But yeah, like this and the Small World, and obviously the Jungle Cruise one is like my most popular. And
oh, that's cool. Yeah, I love that, your Adventureland one. And that's like a whole bunch of like layers, right? That you have to like.
Yeah.
He's getting. I love when Jason breaks up with stuff.
Ah, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's a couple layers.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Cool, man.
That is really neat.
And then yeah, I have some like faux leather strapping.
Oh, that's cool. That's a nice touch. I love that Adventureland sign. So
I don't know if you remember, but I did like ponder it one time to you if we can trade for a mug.
Oh, I do remember that. Yeah. I don't.
No.
Whatever happened.
Yeah, no.
He's like, yeah.
I know the mugs are a bit different because, like, at least on the other website, because you have other people making different stuff and whatnot. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, it depends how long ago.
Stuff, you know.
Talk about off thing, not on the chat.
It was,
come on.
It was probably even before I was making mugs with Tiki Land, I think. It was. Or was it?
It was
Tiki Land and I've been doing mugs
year sometime. So
it was only last year.
Maybe a little longer, but sometime about that. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, we can talk about it offline.
I love that sign. That's cool. So do you like after you got the laser machine? Did you just like you had the router and you're like you dump it?
I can say I've done that now, but it wasn't right away.
Yeah.
And that's only because like I also program and I do websites and things. And
oh, cool.
I can sit here and run the laser while I'm doing that.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's like multitasking again.
That's sweet. That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. All that stuff is amazing. CNCs, 3D printers, laser. I mean, 10 years ago,
new world.
Yeah, 10 years ago, that nothing was available to makers. Right. It's pretty incredible what you can do now.
Chatbots making I don't know, college students get A's, A pluses on every which way. Cats and dogs living together, total hysteria.
Yeah, actually, this one it was made on
mass hysteria. I got it wrong.
Yeah, no, it was made on a CNC.
Oh, cool. So you got a CNC now.
I actually have a plasma CNC too, but it's kind of down right now. But
and he was supposed to give me.
No.
Wait, the plasma, like it uses like plasma to like burn? Or?
Yeah, it's like a torch, whatever. But yeah, it is a plasma like handle that just gets triggered automatically and moves around.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
So I hope to do like metal wood kind of stuff.
I was just gonna say, yeah, you could do metal with it. That's crazy. Yeah.
Jason, do you have a 3D printer?
I have a couple 3D printers. I just it's a whole other ballgame because you gotta learn how to 3D model.
So if I gave you like you know, a file and like 3 weeks worth of printing, you'd do that for free, right? For
me,
for that.
If you pay for the resin.
Oh, it's a resin printer.
It's a resin 3D printer.
Yeah, resin. Those are the nice ones.
Yeah.
He's got
yeah.
the resin. I got the regular PLA.
I'm already getting stressed out. Okay, I digress.
I have a PLA one sitting on my shelf, and I couldn't even get it leveled to start on it, so I just gave up.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I,
Well, the resins are a different ball game too, because you got to clean them and then cure them.
I hate time for that. I just want to make action figures.
Yeah, there you go.
That's all I want.
Well, there's websites for that. You can just send them off and they'll print them for you.
Then they charge me money, so.
I know.
You go to Thingiverse and
you guys are help.
Oh yeah. So, but you said you were hung up on the 3D modeling. I never thought I'd be able to 3D model or anything, but a year or two ago, I discovered Nomad Sculpt on the iPad. It is an incredible sculpting app, basically. Yeah. Like, I have no training in 3D at all, but I'm able to. There's one here. So this one, I was able to sculpt on Nomad Sculpt. This is a PLA.
Cool. Nomad Sculpt. Okay, I got to do that.
I don't think I have any resin ones, but yeah, like it made sculpting intuitive and easy. And it's like it's on an app. Like, you know, I can use it on my iPad.
Yeah. When I first started, I did it's no longer around, but it was ABC 123. It was a really simple, not sculpting, but just like modeling.
Yeah.
Modeling. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I actually did this. This is for for Fresh Baked.
Cool. That's super cool.
And see, opens up everything.
Oh
my goodness. That's so
cool.
But
that was done on a PLA too. So that was like 3-4 years ago maybe that I did that.
Oh cool. Yeah.
So now trying to do other stuff, it's a whole other ball game. So
seriously, Nomad Sculpt is awesome. Like, and every person I've turned it on to, they're like, this is amazing. Like, I never thought I'd be able to digitally sculpt. And you can output files that are high resolution. I don't have any here, but
looking up
stuff resin printed, and it's like perfect. It's like there's no lines in it or anything.
Yeah. Do you find it's a lot like regular sculpting, or is it just a whole different thing?
It is. It's like, because, you know, I mostly, like, the first 10 years of making mugs, my wife and I sculpted them together. So it was very, like, much like clay. So the different tools in Nomad Sculpt, it definitely reminded me of using sculpting tools. You can start with any shape, you know, like most modeling software, and you can, like, carve away. You can add on to it. You can smooth it out like a sponge. It's awesome.
I might have to give it a try, but like I said, I tried doing some kind of sculpting. I even tried working with clay at one point, and I just wasn't very good. So,
oh yeah. See, I like after using Nomad Sculpt, like I don't even want to touch clay. I'm like, it takes so much time. You can't save it. You can't change proportions. Like this was fun. Like I sculpted the head, and I could make the head bigger and see how it looked. And the little skulls. I had to just do one and then copy and paste.
Oh yeah. That's so cool.
So wait, so when you make a mug, are you 3D sculpting it then first?
There's a bigger version. So now I'm trying to think now with Thor, Tom Thordarson, he's a former Imagineer. He's our sculptor for Tiki Land. So he digitally sculpts all my stuff. There's been a few where I've sculpted on top of his, like just tiny little things. I'm trying to think if there's any that I've done start to finish. Yeah, none now that have come out that I've done start to finish. In the coming year, we'll have more where I have done the sculpt.
I love it's collaborative. Collaborative.
Oh yeah,
Peach stuff's kicking in. Collaborative. What's this here collaborative thing? It's collaborative. I love that. I think that's so cool. It seems to be part of a group of people that you're not just a lone wolf, but you know, you have here's my sculpt, and you can add play with it a little bit. That's cool. I think.
Tiki Land, it's a big collaboration. Like there's Thor who sculpts. There's Jeff Granito who does a lot of stuff for Disneyland. Actually, he does like all the paper cups you get. Jeff Granito did. But he does like all our shirts. He did this shirt, so he took my drawings and made a pattern out of it.
I love it.
But he, like, we're all involved with, you know, all parts of the process of making mugs, and
yeah,
it's pretty cool. It's really cool.
That's sort of like akin to, I think, the aesthetic of the tiki vibe, right? Like, you're nobody sits there, you know. It's
yeah, the aloha spirit.
Yeah, that's what that's it. That's what I want. Talk about that, because I think that's exactly what I was thinking about.
Yeah, I think like a lot of people are drawn to tiki for that aloha spirit. Like, I know, like, when I think back and I try to like figure out what really drew me to tiki, in high school and all before then, I was playing competitive baseball, and the group of guys I was playing with, we were all on track. Like, we all thought we were going to be pros, and like, we were all very good. We won our high school league. And as time went on, like, I realized, like, I was more goofy. Like, I wasn't the best. I'm like,
I'm goofy.
Yeah, exactly. Well, so here's a funny thing. Like, I was the only starter on our senior team that did not get drafted to go to the pros. So I, at that point, I sort of knew like things were not going to happen.
Yeah.
But
you had a different route. You had a different route.
That's exactly when I found tiki. Tiki was this escape for me. It was this like creative side where I had just started surfing. I had met my girlfriend at the time. Now she's my wife. She was very creative. She's an artist.
Yeah.
And it was this whole world that took me out of the reality of like competitive sports, which like I didn't, looking back on it, it was fun growing up. But as I got older, it was not fun anymore.
Yeah.
And
I got to tell you this. Last night we interviewed Peggy Ferris. I think she's worked. Okay. I'm going to get all this wrong. So y'all. I gotta look her up. So I'll correct myself later.
Inventor of the Ferris wheel.
No, might as well be. She worked for Disney for whatever years, like quite a bit of years. She's Imagineer, you know.
And
she's one of the like prominent women engineers, and what a wonderful woman, sweetheart.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great. But she has it's not a TED Talk. It's like keynote. It's like a keynote speech. And she talks about curiosity, where she grew up, she thought her life was going to be this, and she was sure it was going to be this. And it was only that, you know, it didn't work out what she initially planned, but then she was open-minded, sort of got into the Disney thing, and then boom, her life just opened up in this new, you know, this new door was open, and that was the trajectory of her own life and her career. So when she reflects back on her story, she talks about the power, sort of the power of being curious and being okay with that. Your life, hey, everyone else is a baseball player, but man, my life totally just spiraled out in this other direction. And she talks about like the beauty of that. And I think that's just, you know, it's so funny that you mention your own story, because I'm connecting those dots, and it just seems like.
I think that sort of creativity, divergent thinking, like that's all part of like kids growing up. They know how to play. They turn anything into a game, and they're naturally creative. And I think like, as you get older, like the adults kind of push that out of you. They're like, no, don't think this way. Don't act that way. Stay in line.
Absolutely.
And you're like, creative kids are constantly rewarded to kind of go in line, you know. Maybe it's different now. Like, I see there's so much more acceptance of kids now, which is so good. Like, I always felt like an oddball that didn't really fit in, and I think a lot more kids now, everyone's realizing we're all oddballs in our own way.
You're right.
It's like we're a million different oddballs. Like,
I love
you
it.
Know, no need to conform.
No, I always say, like, I love the imagery of, like, you know, remember Rudolph and the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Oh, yeah.
It's like the Island of Misfit Toys.
Yeah,
we're all Misfit Toys. You know, some of us, we're squirt guns that shoot jelly. Some of us are redheaded dolls, which don't,
ever. Why is she on the island? I don't know. Who cares? They don't say. You know, a boat that can't stay afloat. Maybe you're just some flying, you know, lion. Who cares? But it's sort of like that. But there, I think there is a sense of beauty in embracing, you know, your the way that you're divergent in life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think exactly. That's wonderful. And I think that's what some of hearing your story, her story, I think that's one of the things that I think a lot of people can kind of come away from and saying it takes vulnerability to embrace that. And you nailed earlier, Tony, because you said, you know, a lot of people just kind of want to go something akin to like, hey, they just want, here's the narrative. Here's where you're supposed to fall in line. And I think it takes real courage to say, you know, I think I'm gonna go this different route. And that is a scary thing to do.
Yeah.
It just is.
Yeah, it is, for sure. Yeah. Well, you guys know, you guys are all doing creative things. It's not always easy, but it's like it's probably like for me, it's a something in me I have to do or else I don't feel right.
Yeah, that's, I mean, when my friend asked me to make the sign, it spawned this whole, you know, business and it right at a good time because COVID hit and I lived off of doing this. I wasn't programming then.
Wow. That's so cool.
Yeah. It came at the right time and I can't imagine not doing this now. So
that's awesome. That's super
Jason,
cool.
Was it scary for you during that process? Was it something that you were like, oh no, no. Well, and then it just worked out or were you, did you feel confidence in that moment?
Like I said, before that I was driving Uber here and there and doing like little websites here and there, but not like programming like I was. You know, I used to go in an office and program and stuff, and I haven't been in an office in like 7 or 8 years. So coming here, working out of the house.
Yeah.
And doing the signs, it totally changed everything. But yeah, I mean, at first, you know, it takes a while to get noticed and, you know, you're kind of worried about paying bills and whatnot, you know. Actually, that's how I met our friend Alex, because I actually bought him a camera. And because of that, you know, Alex Historian has a popular YouTube channel. So I bought him a camera and he promoted me. And that's actually how Steve found me.
Oh, cool. I love
that. It was a way to get my name out there. And I was a little worried because these are Disney signs.
Yeah.
They're ride signs. They're not like, I'm not copying like, you know, Mickey Mouse head and stuff.
So, yeah.
You know, I have no doubt.
Disney inspired. Disney inspired.
Yeah. It's a replica. And it's not even actually one to one, you know, I mean, I took my liberal inspirations on it. So, but yeah, it's still.
That's cool.
You know,
that's neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God. That's a special thing. Like, we've been lucky to turn our creative whimsies into something that can pay the bills. And like, I never thought that was going to happen. You know, like.
But when I saw your stuff at that show, it was like, wow! Look at he makes some amazing things. And then I fell in love with the Star Wars one that you made.
Oh, thanks.
And I was. Yeah, so Jason got me that from you when we were there. So that was really cool when we met you.
Yeah, your drawings, there was too many. I had to like hold back from buying it. Like, all of them.
I feel very lucky to be able to be doing it full time. I think my daughter is 7. I think when she was about a year, I was able to go full time.
Nice.
Yeah, I was an art teacher for 5 years, and then I lost that. That went back to like 2008 when the economy slumped a little.
Yeah.
I lasted a few more years, but teacher's pay is paid from, you know, property tax here in California. So property tax was down, so they cut art teacher. So I was gone.
Yeah.
So luckily, like you said, I was doing odd jobs. Like I was able to clean pools for 5 years with my father-in-law, and that kept us afloat. Like we bought this house, and then literally a month later, I got the pink slip from teaching. And I'm like, teaching was supposed to be my safe thing. No. I was I felt so like kicked in the gut. Yeah, that was bad.
That's kind of similar to me. I bought this. I was working in an online college. I bought this house and then I got let go.
Oh like my god.
2 weeks afterwards.
Oh my god, so similar.
It was kind of my own fault though, too. Yes. In a way. I told them that I was gonna go look for, I told them I need to make a certain amount. They laughed at me. And then I said, okay, I'm gonna put in my 2 week notice. So I was being nice. And they said, well, that counts as your resignation.
Oh my gosh.
So I was like, I pretty much like resigned myself by accident.
He's like, oopsies.
But I'm not kidding. 2 weeks later, I was making the amount of money that I should have been making. So
that's awesome.
That's so crazy.
That's cool. That's good.
So I was gonna ask, have you made anything for Disney or?
I so weirdly enough, like you, I'm a huge Disney fan. I make stuff peripherally inspired by Disney.
Yeah.
And let's see, 2 years ago, just before the pandemic, Club 33 manager had emailed me out of the blue and was like, hey, like, I want to do a project with you. We do this Summer of Tiki thing. I'm like, no way. Like, so my stuff would be at Disneyland. And I had helped organize Adventureland Day at Disneyland.
Okay. And yeah.
That was cool. Like my first project right when I went full-time Tiki. I'm like, okay, I got a little free time. I've always loved those dress-up themed days.
That's pretty big now. There's a lot of people doing that.
Yeah.
It got big. Like last year, we probably had 1,000 people show up dressed up in safari outfits.
Yeah, indie.
Indie, yeah. So he had seen all the people dressed up. I think it was either the second year I did it. I don't remember now. But he liked he just liked the energy from that. I'm like, oh, okay. So, and then COVID hit. So then I wasn't able to do anything. So I was oh man. But then after Disneyland reopened, he messaged me again. He's like, okay, we do our Summer of Tiki. We open in 2 weeks. Can you make stuff? I'm like, shit. Yes. So I literally, and like in the middle of COVID, which like a lot of artists got really lucky. Like people were stuck at home. A lot of people were buying my stuff online. So like I was really busy. And I was able to kind of like halt those and then make stuff for them. So I got to do like my version of Jose and Rosita, like Carl. Yeah. I did like a flower boat canoe. I don't remember what else I did for them. Just a bunch of little things like that. So they decorated it all and it was in Club 33. And yeah, my dream came true. But like we were still so strictly locked down because we got 2 small kids and my wife was just very paranoid about them getting sick. So that was 2 years ago. Yeah. So we didn't get to go see it. And then they reused it again this summer. Like I got a call from a friend who is a Club 33 member. She's like, they put your stuff back up. I'm like, no way.
Nice.
They put it in storage for 2 years and then used it again. So I was like, oh, that's awesome. So I got to take my kids and they got to see dad's stuff at Disneyland. So that was really cool. Yeah.
I keep waiting for the Wonderground Gallery or Disneyana to get these in there.
No kidding. I know. Like that that was always a dream, like to be part of Wonderland or something, but
yeah.
I don't know. I figure it'll happen maybe, who knows.
Hey, McBiff got in there, right? So
yeah. Things happen. Yeah, and Jeff Granito, his stuff is always in there. So we're not far away.
Yeah.
The people near us have done it. We can do it.
Well, you know, if you make it before me, just, you know, drag me along and vice versa, you know. So
don't worry. Next time I'm in Disney, I don't care where I don't like what is this? What is that? I have friends that could do better than this. And I'll just make a big spectacle of myself until they're like, fine, Jeff, who are your friends?
But you got to do it. You got to do it in the goofy voice or they won't listen.
Well, I don't like that at all. Well, I know people that can do better. Who is it? I'll tell you later. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, unless it was Ray Kinnaman who did it, then we can do better.
Lantakey Tony can do better than that. That's what I'll say.
No, can you? I'm just thinking, like, if you did the voice of Goofy for a paid thing, could you get in trouble for doing that voice?
Not yet. I do quite a bit. Goofy Stories. Hey, everybody. I have one thing up on Goofy Stories, but I have my own YouTube base. Go Goofy Stories. Take like old vintage, like old books of Goofy, and then my wife will do the narration, and then I'll do the Goofy voice.
That is cool.
Yeah, and so you know.
But you're not selling it. You're not making money off of it.
Right? No, I'm not making money. Not at all. I have to pay to go into my recording studio across town and do silly voices. So it's not cheap, everybody. So
that's pretty cool.
It's not cheap.
Well, it's not cheap. It cost me lots of money.
Oh man. Wait, so did you grow up on like the Goof Troop like me or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so I've based my Goofy voice very much off a Goofy movie and Goof Troop. Okay. So, you know, Bill's voice has changed over the years a little bit, but I'm very punchy, like the Goof Troop. I mean, these are nuances, but I'm very like
I was immediately back to Goof Troop, coming home from school, putting that on.
Yeah, that's my Goofy voice.
High C.
my Ecto Cooler.
Or actually maybe by then it might have been Squeeze-Its.
Oh, I miss those. Oh.
I'm actually drinking grape Gatorade.
Oh man.
But there might be a little extra in here.
Yeah, it's not the Ecto.
I mean, it's great, not Kool-Aid, but
great,
you know.
Blue Dini Kool-Aid. You know, I don't know. Flamingo Kool-Aid. That's back in the 90s.
My parents, they would get at what's Costco. It used to be called Price Club. It was like, it was like a generic version of all these weird characters and like fruit flavors. Man, I love those.
They're probably just as good.
Yeah,
that's what we used to tell all the kids at school that had those. Yeah. Like, it's okay, guys. It's okay. No, this is good. So you'd be like, oh gosh,
it's like mostly water.
I'd come home, and be like, Mom, thank you for buying me on brand Kool Aid. I'm just kidding. Actually, I wasn't. I was a kid that had off brand. So,
what's your favorite thing to carve or draw, like Tiki style? Like, is there a certain character or Disneyland aspect or?
You know,
nothing
what?
Taboo, right?
No, like Mr. Honolulu. My stuff is all pretty happy-ish. Like honestly, the toucans, the birds, I love. Like that's like my staple. When I was I'm trying to remember, like about 22 or so, I probably carved my first one. 44 now, so like I still love carving a toucan, and it's been 20 years. Like it's just there's something fun about it. Like I don't know. It just, to me, it looks like a cartoon character that like came to life, and it's like you can see it in 3D.
What kind of wood do you use to do all the carving?
Anything, you know. So when I first started, it was all driftwood because, like, you know, really? It was 1920. Yeah,
it's free.
It's free. Yeah. Like I couldn't. I had like no money. I worked at an ice cream place making like minimum wage. I'm like, I didn't want to spend it on wood, so I'd go to the beach and like. There's all this wood there for free. Over the years, like to kind of make it so like I could carve the same thing over and over. I now just get lumber at, you know, Lowe's or Home Depot.
Yeah.
Anything and everything.
So you're using like the Douglas fir or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever's there. Like it doesn't matter. Like, and I'll still occasionally use driftwood.
Yeah. The Douglas fir is, you know, what I was buying, the 12-foot long ones. Cutting them up, gluing them together, making them thicker, whatever. That's what I was doing the signs with.
Oh, yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah, I love.
Woodworking's hard. I remember, so I took a sculpting class in college.
And I can remember it was the first experience I've ever had from just, you know, pen and paper or pencil and paper to having this three-dimensional object in front of me. And it was like every rotation was a new drawing, every millimeter. And it was such a weird, that was the first time. And then going against the grain or going with the grain and oh my goodness, things would chip out. I'm like, it was so,
yeah,
just so interesting and frustrating, but also just, I almost wish I took more of those classes because I think it was so, it just to have this three-dimensional object, whether it's wood or clay, and then just there's something more intimate about having, you know, pencil and paper, you have to think about one thing, one angle, that's it.
Yeah.
But when you have this lump of something in front of you, you have to think of so much more like coherently and cohesively and broadly about every little angle. That's why I didn't do so good.
Yeah, I mean, really, your brain has to kind of wrap around the idea that it's an object in space.
Yeah.
And that was harder for me. Yeah, I didn't really carve much or sculpt much at all. It wasn't until like I wanted a tiki necklace that I was like, I guess I have to make one, because in 1996, couldn't find a tiki necklace anywhere. No. So I grabbed my girlfriend's dad's Dremel and I'm like, I just started carving on a piece of driftwood. And that's so cool. Like the first few were so rudimentary. It was literally like drawing lines on the wood.
Yeah.
And it probably was the 200th tiki necklace I did where my brain finally understood the three-dimensional space. And that was a cool thing. Like, and throughout my time carving, my brain will kind of like, oh, it gets it. And then I can even see it in 3D before it happens now.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part.
It's so funny you mentioned 200 too, because I hear that across the board with a lot of artists. It's like whether you're a speaker, an artist, a whatever it is, a musician, and you write songs across the board. I don't know if there's some weird magical number, but typically it takes around 200 of something before you're like, okay, now I'm getting somewhere. It's so funny you mentioned that, because I hear that. Yeah, I hear that a lot. I do.
I think it's a famous quote, maybe from the Beatles or something. Like you're, I don't know, so many hours into something and you finally just reach a certain level of understanding. That's
I think it's like 20,000 hours or something weird like that. Like, that's a lot.
Don't quote me on numbers.
Me either. Okay.
even when I quote like new commission artwork, and my wife looks at it, she's like, "That's way too low." I'm like, "I don't know."
But you always project. You're like, "Well, that's what I should be. That's what I should." And you're like, "Yeah." Okay, well.
It all goes back because I just want to make everyone happy. Probably. She's like, "Yeah, but this house isn't going to stay turned on that way."
I also want to add. You're talking about like things chipping out and stuff, and depending on the style, and you know, tiki lens itself to this, but it kind of adds to it. You can make it look distressed and burn it or whatever, and
totally.
I would always buy the
gnarled pieces.
Yeah, like the, like everybody's like, "Oh, your stuff has knots in it." I'm like, "Yeah, that looks cool." You know,
same here. I always buy the oddball pieces of wood that are left over, the ones with character.
Yeah,
that's cool. It's love
a crack down the middle or what they call a sap line or whatever.
Yeah.
And I burn out the sap and then I can carve it through and then.
Oh yeah, God. I love when you hit a section of sap and it's got that sweet smell to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's neat.
And then it gets all over your fingers.
That I don't love, especially if I'm using the chainsaw wheel, it's like shooting.
Goo
I'm like, whoa, sorry. That's fun.
I love this drawing as well.
Oh, thanks. So, you know, oh my God, I got a funny story about that painting. It's funny you brought that one up. So I did a drawing of that for a while. I was doing these time-lapse drawings of me drawing stuff and then I would sell them. It was a way to kind of like do something fun at the dinner table and make some money. So I put one up. I was like, if anyone wants this as a painting, I'll turn it into a painting. And I set a price, and I accidentally hit quantity 2 instead of 1.
Oops.
And I'm like, oh, I sold it already. I told my wife, and I'm like, I sold another one. I'm like, so I had to do the exact same painting twice.
You didn't tell her the truth, did you?
The person who bought it, I don't know. I don't remember if I told them or not, but when I took that photo, I had the other one right below it. I almost wanted to do it. This is one of a kind. You'll never see another. Oh. Anyway,
nobody watches this anyway, so don't worry.
I think people tend to know if you're involved with me, something goofy is going to happen.
I'm going to do it every time.
What? Goofy.
Yeah.
So, I dig the little drummer guys from
the tiki room.
Tiki room. Yeah.
Tiki room.
The two words are so hard in my head. I can't even get them out.
By the way, the tiki room is like one of my all time favorite Disney. Oh,
I love it.
I love it a lot.
Plus, it's like a place where you can go in and just relax, especially if it's too hot or whatever.
Yeah, it's perfect. You know, the other podcast.
Yeah, there he is.
We interviewed Robbie Sherman, and his old family, his pops and his uncle, they made that song, and he was. Yeah. Just wonderful to interview, but it was like him talking about amazing. The tiki room. Yeah. And I'm like, I didn't know, because sometimes like I come in these interviews with fresh eyes and then I'm like, oh my goodness, you are the Robbie Sherman. I just thought you just had a same. No, it's Robbie Sherman. And it was so cool. But the tiki room is one of my favorites. And
it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of my longtime favorites. So I'm just gushing because I love the tiki room, and it's like, I think from the heart of it, the beginning is you're right. It's that place of just like blow it down.
Yeah, and it's like down. One of the few like nice air conditioned cold escapes.
Yeah.
For sure. Wait, so
it is so immersive. It's so immersive.
You interviewed the Sherman brothers who did the music. You interviewed who now?
Well, so Robbie Sherman is the son.
Wow. Okay.
He's the son. So and he's so his uncle and his dad were originally the Sherman brothers. So he didn't write the Tiki Room, but he
grew up around it for sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And he was so fun, and he's still kind of carry on that legacy, but
that's cool. Does
just
he do
hearing music? Like, so if we're talking about immersiveness, and let's tie it into this, which is, one of the cool things I think about like the Tiki Room or just about that aesthetic is, okay, there's a lot of different sort of vibes that you can get that's sort of immersive, but like just looking back at your background, it's like, it's smothering, but in a good way, right? And it's one of those those aesthetics that are like, oh, it feels comforting and overwhelming, but it's overwhelming in a good way. That's how I feel about the tiki room. Like I walk in there, I don't just go in the tiki room to cool down. I go in there because I'm like, ooh, look at all this. It's just, I feel like smothered in this.
Oh yeah,
this environment,
Yeah, it's an all over experience for sure. Yeah, like the chaos around me.
Yeah, it's like organized chaos. I love it.
Organized chaos. Back to that. So yeah. So these were tiki room drummers that inspired by obviously mugs. You can drink out of them.
Yeah.
What is that made out of? Wood?
Wait, I want to see them again.
No, pull so these are ceramic.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So we these are one of our Tiki Land mugs.
Nice.
They're amazing. So
when you when you're making the mugs, you draw them now, and some other guy takes them and does a 3D. So are you drawing like every angle or?
Yeah. So I'll draw them from all angles. And then I'll have reference for like close-ups on stuff like if something of mine is based on a carving. I have one here. So this one, my wife and I did a kind of a version of this that we sculpted together probably 10 years ago. And then, so I used references from that old mug on the new sculpt. So yeah, it's, yeah, draw it in 3D. And then sometimes I'll go in and, like I said, sculpt on top of it. This one, I just, the only thing I did is add in like the chisel marks and everything. Yeah. You know, I sculpted the faces on these, but yeah, Thor did the everything else.
How long did it take you to come up with the design for that?
I mean, you know what? A lot of my drawings and mugs, they're like very quick sketches. Yeah, I'm trying to think. I don't have any here, but I'll have to send you some. But they're literally like, I have a little white tablet. I keep them all over the place. But especially when like I'm at the dinner table with my wife or whatever, I'm yeah. like scribble something out
idea.
Super quick. Yeah. So, oh, there we go.
There you go.
There you go.
I'm not that fast, but I'm pretty fast.
Yeah. Oh, that looks great. So how do you so? If you had like whether you're coming up with your own creation or you take something that's pre-existing and you kind of transpose it into the style of the tiki, you know, what are some of the things that you think about? Some of the things that you know, like SpongeBob. Okay, we all know SpongeBob. I don't know. Or Goofy. Let's take Goofy.
Okay.
If in theory you were going to take Goofy and then make a tiki,
he's just trying to get you to do it.
Yeah. Hypothetically, how
this is
how
the weirdest you... commission ever. Like, you didn't need to make a podcast. You could have just asked.
No. When I make some money, you'll be hearing from me. But like, and I don't have the skills to do it anyway. So, but like, seriously, like, how would you? What are some of the things that you think about to like pull it into your world and to
honestly, like I've been lucky enough to kind of have my own style just by kind of dumb luck. Like I remember even when I was like 13 trying to copy other stuff and it just came out different.
Yeah.
And so like whenever I even go to carve something, or if I try to replicate something, like someone asked if I could do Jiminy Cricket, and I was like, yeah, but it looks nothing like Jiminy Cricket, but it looks like a tiki Jiminy Cricket kind of.
Well, it's supposed to.
I think it's just from, you know, practicing and doing it over and over.
Yeah.
I think I probably see stuff initially more as like a drawing, and I'm like, how can I turn the drawing into three dimensional?
Right.
You know, it keeps up pretty simple, like. This octopus, it's pretty simple. It's like a big round head with two little eyes. I guess practice and dumb luck.
Well, and intuition. You probably have an intuition.
Oh, maybe so. But, you know, that's probably just comes from observing other arts growing up or other things growing up. But I will definitely draw you a goofy tiki for sure.
Now. No, you don't have to. No.
I mean, I'm not going to spend 24 hours on it, but I'll definitely do a goofy tiki. I love Goofy. I think that would be fun.
And nobody's doing it. That's if you have the time, that's great. If not, don't worry.
Okay,
I was just being hypothetical here. It's okay.
I'm taking requests now. Do you guys want anything? Forever Now, or hold your
Boba Fett.
Okay, fine.
Boba Fett. Okay, right? We got Boba Fett. Jason. Yeah.
Since Steve was pressuring me so much.
Okay. Well, here's a two-putter.
Here we go.
We started this podcast with the magic thing, and we're sorcerers and whatever. So, I call ourselves the podcasting wizards.
Oh, cool!
So, if we can make a little wizard with a little podcast microphone headset, there you go.
All right, there we go.
I'll throw it on my website, all these requests, so it never ends.
So, I wanted to ask you again on this, not just this, but in general, when you're designing like the eyes and the mouths and all that, is there a reference or like a reason for certain things, or is it just like,
yeah, I'm glad you asked that. That's a good observation. So mm-hmm. when my wife and I, when, you know, we're boyfriend and girlfriend, when we went up to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, that was right when I was kind of breaking away from realizing I'm going to get more into art. Baseball was ending. I came up there and I was like, it didn't feel right. So my escape at the time, I would go to the library. So I went to the Oceanic Art History section, and there were all these books of all this cool Oceanic Arts carved tikis, everything you could imagine. And I would flip through them, and I would read little stories here and there, little bits of the history. And a lot of it, sadly, was lost because, like, when missionaries and things spread throughout, they would, like, actually, like, you know, get rid of the wooden idols and everything. Luckily, some of the lore and the history had lived on. But honestly, like, I would try to do my own version of a real tiki. So the one you were just showing, it's based off of tikis from the Marquesas Islands or Fatuhiva. And if you look at a traditional tiki from Fatuhiva, I wonder if the one here, but they have these kind of goggle eyes. They're like, it was the same kind of pattern over and over. So I just drew it the way I saw it with kind of like this more one. So that's similar too. So that's Tongaroa, and that's from the Cook Islands. And again, that's like it. Like if you look at a traditional Tongaroa, it's very similar.
Little inspiration here and there.
That was one of the few where I actually did do hand chiseling. I don't even know why. I think I just wanted the texture of the chisel marks, and sometimes I can duplicate it with the power tools, but
I had a power carver, power chisel.
Oh, and I've never used one of those.
I couldn't get it to do what I wanted to do, because it's like it's like holding an Arbitech thing, but it's like you got a chisel like this. I just sent it to Justin, so because he started carving stuff.
Hopefully cool. He can get
use out of it. I don't know.
Cool. I talked with Spike a little bit, and I think eventually Spike, Justin and me, we might do some sort of carving thing together.
Nice.
That would be fun. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's crazy. They hardly, both of them, like, hardly carve at all, but, like, Justin's stuff is, like, really good.
Yeah.
And he hasn't even...
Who are they?
They're...
Or is it for me? Who's an idiot?
I mean, Justin is a Disney vlogger. He's actually one of the first really that started going to Disney and vlogging about it. But Spike has a band called the Hula Girls. Obviously, they're kind of Hawaiian style, tiki style music. And it's kind of cool too, because they have like girls dancing on the stage with them. Spike has a laser too. And, Spike has his own channel where he does tiki cocktails called the Breezeway.
Oh, did he make those?
He made this one, yeah.
Oh, cool.
I actually have, he made his other two. This one is a Random Land one, and then there's one for the Hula Girls.
Oh, cool.
And then I just made this one for another friend of mine.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
So
I know him. And
I never even thought about doing this, but... you know, when Spike showed me these, and I was like, that's kind of cool. And then my friend Christy, she has a laser too. And she made some for this guy again. So like this is the first one I ever made though, but
yeah,
it's acrylic.
Yeah. Yeah. And acrylic is food safe. I love those. Yeah.
I love like the wood texture in there. Cool. So
that's really neat.
This makes me want to do a lot more. So
that's cool. Every year I do a Halloween box set, and we always have the swizzles laser cut. There used to be this couple that was out of Palm Springs that did it for a long time. It's pretty neat how many, you know, different shapes and things you can get, how creative you can get with the limitations of the laser machine. It's pretty cool.
Oh yeah. And like, you can't see you right here, but so it's got a little engraving just enough to get a subtle color.
That's awesome. I love that. That's one thing I had to learn is like whether the etching or engraving made it lighter or darker.
Yeah. Well, it depends on how faint you do it, but
yeah. And some acrylics, like when you etched in, it would make it darker and some would make it lighter.
And there's also, there's a two layered or three layered, some acrylics. So if you etch it enough, you start seeing the underground color.
Yes. So separate. Super cool. I love that.
I do with the ceramic tiles.
Yeah.
What was that?
You can paint the ceramic tiles and you do the same thing with that.
Oh, so like the ceramic tile,
it's white, right? And then you can paint it like black.
Oh,
and then
cool.
paint something else over it, like a blue.
Yeah.
And then you can etch out the blue to make the black stand out or the white.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So if you do the laser again faint enough, it'll kind of do the same thing. So you can etch off the top layer and
that's cool.
Actually, a lot of people are doing this now with powder coating. They'll etch out in the wood, put the powder coat in there, and use like a heat gun to cook the powder coat. That's and then go back in and etch again, and you can do like another color. So it's kind of cool.
That's cool. That's really neat.
Hey, if you do the Halloween thing, like I would design you a swizzle stick.
It's already started by my buddy.
Well,
thank you though.
Maybe next year.
Yeah, maybe next year.
I'd be cool to do some kind of collab like that or something.
That'd be cool. But do you really want to make 400 of them?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I'll design it.
That would be cool.
I think I made about 50 of these.
Oh,
it probably
cool.
took a couple days.
Oh, that's good.
So, plus I have my friend's laser I can borrow. But
so right now I see Boba Fett and Vader, and you got like a hidden Mickey sometimes when you're moving your head a little bit. No, not you, Jason.
Oh, Steve.
Steve, yeah.
What's in your back?
Oh, he's frozen. Oh, he's frozen. No, not right now, but like sometimes he would move and it would be like a perfect hidden Mickey.
I'm trying to think what was back there.
It always got Boba Fett and
yeah, I'm trying to remember what was in the middle.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
Oh well,
I think they're trying to tell us something. Like they keep dropping off.
So I had this issue with my internet, and then like after mine got fixed, Steve had this problem where it just drops off.
Oh wow!
I don't know what Jeff's doing. Potty break? I have no idea.
he's doing goofy voices
in the middle of everything. Let me. We do these kind of other questions, so let me just ask you this one.
Yeah.
We call this a magic hearing. So it's like a take on a magic hearing. Like,
cool. Okay.
So what would be a sound, music, or anything like audio Disney related that draws your attention or that you like? Music from a movie or a ride or?
Like all the sounds and music of Disneyland are so awesome. Is that what you mean? Like the
whatever grabbed your attention.
Oh my God. Just the ambient noise that they play in Adventureland, I absolutely love. Like certain sections, there's like old vintage slide guitar Hawaiian stuff.
Yeah.
Probably about 10 years ago or so emailed me all the files of them. There's like drumming on some of them. Even like Soaring Over California, like I love the music from that.
Yeah.
Like if it comes on, like I start zooming around the house, like, whoa. like Pirates of the Caribbean, and like, well, we're coming up on Halloween. The whole front of our yard, we turn into like a full Halloween thing. We have like projected pumpkins that go onto. We buy these giant real pumpkins and project faces onto them. Got a smoke machine going, and like, I don't know if you can hear, my dog is barking. Yeah.
The dog is chosen. The dog has spoke. That's the one.
So we do like the Haunted Mansion music. Like Haunted Mansion music, I absolutely love. So honestly, like
Trader Sam's.
Oh. Trader Sam's music, I love. Like, God, I love it all.
Well, like, speaking of Sherman Brothers, my favorite part of Small World music is when we come into like the tiki style and you get the Hawaiian drums coming in, and
I love that. That
part always gets me going. So
I love that. Yeah. There's not, I can't hardly critique Disneyland at all. Like, I love so much of it.
All right. Well, you guys dropped off somewhere, and
My internet went out. That's the second.
And I dropped off when I needed some more
some refill.
More liquid.
Steve, what's behind your head there on the wall?
I'm just kidding.
What do you mean?
Like, move your head out of the way.
This is water.
Well, it's fine. You don't have to move, but Steve, when you were like positioned perfect, you had Mickey ears. You had Boba Fett and Vader. And I kept seeing Mickey ears.
There we go.
There you go. I think you guys should make some Mickey ears with Boba Fett and Vader.
And Vader.
There you go.
Like full 3D too.
Yeah, 3D. Yeah,
we're doing everything wrong. Let's just admit it, everybody.
Well, I do want to show your stats here, or stats or whatever, links.
Tiki Tony.
So yeah, you guys go follow if I spelled website correctly. Hang on.
Instagram.
Websuit.
No.
Wait.
On Instagram.
There we go.
On the Instagram.
Well, thank you for having me, guys. It was
what a pleasure.
I hardly realized 2 hours had passed, and then I'm like, oh man. 2 hours
That's like the average for us. For some reason, our podcasts go 2 hours long. I don't know why.
They suck you in, man. This is how I wasn't even. I didn't even like these guys until they're like, "Hey, come one time," and I'm like, oh, "I guess I'll show up next week." I'm like,
"That's how it goes."
Yeah.
Apparently, they're good people.
Thank you, Tony, for coming on with us.
It's been fun, man.
It's been fun. Yeah.
I was gonna say, talking about like Sherman Brother or whatever. Like, we're gonna have eventually like Brett Iwin on, voice of Mickey Mouse. Like, I know him.
Oh, cool!
But what I really like is talking to makers, you know, and because we are too, and actually Brett is too, because he has his bungalow modern. That's how
he's an artist. Yeah.
But I love like hearing how you do things and relating it to how we do things, and it's good conversations. Yeah.
It's always cool. neat to hear what other makers, how their plan is, and their how they start to make things. And
cool!
The process they go through.
Yeah,
that was awesome sharing. It was awesome hearing you guys talk about what you do. I love that stuff. Like, my favorite sort of things are seeing what other people do. You know.
Yeah.
And hearing stories, I think there's probably people listening that will listen to your story and say, hey, there's something, there's one or two or 10 things in your story that helps me try to figure out, maybe they're young artists, you know, and they say, hey, I don't know. You know, we talked about curiosity. We talked about, you know, sometimes life doesn't always pan out in the way that you think, but it'll like throw you out to this whole other world that you never thought you'd be part of. And I think that's just helpful. But I think it is. I think it's helpful for other people to hear your story. And so thank you for sharing that.
Thank you guys. Thanks for letting me share it. And I love hearing other people's stories. So it helped me get through hard times. So I appreciate it from you guys.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, speaking of sharing, Yeah. Make sure to like, subscribe, and share with your friends and family. And if you want, you could send us a voicemail, and we will may play it on the next episode if it's not too bad or profanity or whatnot. So, but yeah, follow links down below, or just go to discoveredmagic.com. We got a brand new website that I made.
Ooh, cool.
And you know, all the links to find us are on that. So. But all right, cool. But yeah,
Tiki, thanks, Tony, thanks for coming on.
It's been fun. And
thank you, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Just wonderful talking to you.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to listening back to see what I said, because I don't remember.
I don't either.
Yeah,
that's why I don't listen back to what I said. I just wait. I just
I'll send you the link to the internet once it's posted.
All I do.
All right. Okay, well, you guys have a good night.
Yeah,
thank you. Well.
You too, Tony.
All right, man.
Have a good night, man.
How do I end this thing?
I'll do it for you.
Okay.
Click on the button.
Bye.
End of line.